The Ladies' Fellowship, not this Tuesday, but a week from Tuesday, going through Luke chapter 12, I think 20-something. Yeah, it's in there. It's in the notes. All right. Support. Support the weak. 20, there you go, Luke 12, 22 through 30. That's a week from Tuesday. All right, good day, door knocking. And had a good time with that. We'll do it again in 2 weeks. And turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 34. Psalm 34. This one has a context to it, or at least you know the context to this one, because it tells you. And it really, really adds to what's being said when you understand the context. So Psalm 34, I'm not going to read a whole bunch of these verses. You know, all of these are songs. They're all put to music, and they're all complete songs. They really got, there's a lot in them. Psalm 34, this is the psalm that goes with 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 through 15, and then really chapter 22 as well, a little bit of chapter 22. And let me just read a couple verses. Psalm 34, the subtitle there says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. All right, Abimelech's like a title, like the president of the United States or something. It's a title. Over in 1 Samuel, he's called Achish. Verse 1, it says, Psalm 34:1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and then their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. All right, I'm going to stop there. That's the general tone of the whole psalm. You get through about verse 11 and dealing with some instruction there. And then in verse 12, you got a question. And then verses about 15 through the end there deals with some promises. Now, this whole psalm, like I said, has a context, and it's really helpful to put it in the context. And so it'll teach you something about music by putting it in the context. But let's pray, and I want to talk to you about music in the balance here. But let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for a good day of door knocking and visiting with folks. And the Lord, heard a while ago, a couple of the teens got saved this morning. I hadn't followed up on it, but Lord, I pray that those girls got saved. And what a blessing, Lord, what a blessing. Father, I pray, thank you for each soul that's here tonight. I pray that you'd feed your flock tonight and help us get prepared for this week. And Lord, just give us what we need. This is one of the few times in the week we do this, and I pray that you'd just feed us the way we need to be fed, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, this psalm, it's a song. It's all music. And it would be one thing to say all these things David is saying when everything's going good. You know, I will bless the Lord at all times when, you know, there's money in the bank and all that kind of stuff, and there's no problems. But you'll find that music is often a counterbalance to it counterbalances the emotions and the times. If you're down, you play music and it'd help you lift you up. Like David played for Saul. Saul's depressed. Saul's just emotionally, depressed. He's got a bad spirit about him. And David comes and plays, and the spirit is flushed out, and the spirit's lifted. So what music did was it provided a balance to the situation. Here's somebody who's down, and the music would lift them up out of the pit, so to speak. The other side of that, I mean, music can also drive you further into whatever madness you're going into. You know, you just stir up the flesh, and it will drive you further down a road you probably don't want to go down. And so, but in this case, David's he writes this psalm, says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." And all these things sound good, and they're easy to say in a good context, but when you put this thing in context, the circumstances aren't any good when David writes this. So I want to show you the circumstances, but it tells you something about the ministry of music and the way it's used, or the way the Lord will use it to balance things out and to help offset emotions and help you get your mind on the right things. Look over here in 1 Samuel, because this is the context. 1 Samuel chapter 21. And verse 10. This is what the context of this is. And if you want to, you can keep your finger in Psalm 34, but let's see what's happening with David and the circumstances under which this psalm is written. So 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 10. "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish the king of Gath." Now, David is well known in Gath. David killed the Goliath that was from Gath. And now David returns as an exiled king, or king-to-be, to a place that he had killed the champion of the city. So he's running for his life from Saul. Verse 11, "And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath." All right, he's infamous is what he is. And so now he's not only scared of Saul, running for his life from Saul, but now the people are kind of like talking amongst themselves and kind of ratting him out. This is the guy that was, didn't he kill a bunch of our people? I mean, this is David. Verse 12, "And David laid up these words in his heart, was sore afraid of Achish the king of Gath, and he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard." Just acted insane. I mean, I don't know if he's getting arrested. I think maybe he's getting arrested here. But he gets apprehended. He's going to be brought before the king. And he just pretends like he's insane. He's a nut. So he's just like drooling on himself and just scratching at things and all that. And so he gets brought before the king in that condition. In verse 14, "Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Why'd you bring this nut to me? Get him out of here." Verse 15, Have I need of mad men that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" So he sends him away, and he said, and I'm sure David is in his mind like, "Yes, that worked. Get me out of here, man." And so in chapter 22, verse 1, this is what it says. "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented. That just lays out a sermon right there. Distressed, in debt, discontented. There you go. There's your homiletic outline. Everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So here's the circumstances of this psalm. So David is running for his life from Saul. He ends up in Gath, where he's killed the giant. And he's infamous in Gath. And so in Gath, they bring him before the king, probably arrest him, bring him before the king. And he doesn't know how to get out of this situation. I mean, the king probably just kill him and get rid of him. So he acts like he's a nut. He's insane. And the king says, get this guy out of here. I don't have any need of this nut. Get him out of here. And so he lets him go. And David heads for this cave and just hides out in this cave. And when his family hears where he's at, Jesse and the family show up at the cave and come and want to see David. And then some other folks show up with Jesse that are, like they said, discontented, in debt, distressed. And so all these folks show up. And in this context of discouragement, of being hunted to death, almost death, being hunted down, being surrounded by people who are just in bad circumstances, David writes Psalm 34. Now let's read Psalm 34 in that context. Because this doesn't sound like a man who's in trouble. So in Psalm 34, he says, in those circumstances, in that cave in Adullam, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You know what David has done with these folks? He had himself as not the reigning king, but more the exiled king, I guess you could say. He has gathered to himself, not by his own force or anything. People have been attracted to David, and they've come to David in the cave, and they've got all kinds of, they're just in all sorts of disarray in their own lives. And what David does is he says, we need to cheer this thing up. I mean, I don't know how else to put it, but he writes this psalm, and it's music. And the point of the music, just like we said at the beginning, is a counterbalance to the situation of the people. Here's the people in distress, discouraged, whatever all the D words were, in debt, all that stuff. And David writes this psalm, and I imagine this psalm was made public, and he's like getting everybody around the campfire. Here, let's sing this music. Let's sing. Let's sing to the Lord now. You're all miserable. You're all running. You're all with me, all right? Here's a song. Let's sing a song, and let's encourage ourselves in the Lord here. And so he pens this psalm, and if you remove that psalm from the context, it's like, okay, you know, I ought to magnify the Lord and all that stuff. But putting it in its context, you don't think about magnifying the Lord when stuff like that's going on. I mean, none of us have probably ever been hunted down for our lives or anything. But that's not the time you think about magnifying the Lord. That's not the time you think about his praise shall continually be on my lips. What you're thinking about, how do I get out of this situation? How do I make these circumstances better? You know what David said? We're going to put some music on and we're going to glorify the Lord now. We need to get encouraged. And so he pens this psalm. Imagine he gets out his little guitar or whatever he's got. And he puts this thing to music, and he's got all these people around him, and he says, you guys, let's encourage ourselves in the Lord here. And so you see, there is why we come in here, we sing hymns, and sing music that's not sung by the world. It's to offset the world. It's to get the world a little bit off of us. It's to bring in a good spirit so that we can think about the things of the Lord. And when you're singing these songs, hopefully it's magnifying the Lord in your mind and in your heart. And so you sing, and what that singing does, if it's good, spiritual, godly music, what it does is it offsets all the effects of the world. And so here is David. David understands music, and so he puts this thing to music, and he writes this psalm, and this psalm's context is this time in David's life where these folks, he's been hunted, he's in a cave, these folks have gathered around him, they're all in trouble in some way. And so here's some instruction. I'm going to go through this real quick here. The first is in verses 1 through 3, and it deals with magnifying the Lord. That's what he says. He says in verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Let's do this thing together. Let's sing about the Lord. I know you don't want to think about him. I know you don't want to think about how good he is right now. But now's the time you really need to think about how good he is. Now's the time to really think about some things he's done for you. Now's the time to really, really make the Lord bigger in your mind and stop letting the circumstances make him smaller in your mind. It says, magnify the Lord. That's the instruction David gives. Magnify the Lord. Then in verses, I'd say, 4 through 6, he talks about seeking the Lord. He says, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." It would be, I'm reading this and I'm just thinking, It would be something to have that as the concert you're listening to. To sit under David and let him just sing this thing that he's put together, trying to bring people, lift their spirits from their depressed state, and trying to encourage them in the Lord and help think about the Lord and get their mind off all the garbage that's going on around them. So he says, seek the Lord. There's some instruction. Magnify the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek him. And then I'd say in verses probably 7 through 9, he talks about fearing the Lord. He says in verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." So he's got really three kind of instructions here. First, magnify the Lord, then seek the Lord, then fear the Lord. And you got a little break, I'd say, in verse 12. He asks this question. He says, "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good?" I mean, who among you wants to live a long, happy life? There's the question. I mean, it's kind of a rhetorical question. Like, who doesn't want to have a long, happy life? Not just a long life. You can have a long, miserable life. But who wants to have a long, happy life? Kind of rhetorical. And then he starts giving some promises from the Lord in verses 15 through 22. Look in verse 15. He describes the eyes of the Lord. "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." He describes the ears of the Lord. He describes the face of the Lord in verse 16. "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off their remembrance of them from the earth." I'm just thinking about it. You know, when David was hunted by Saul, one of the things that really got to him and hurt his conscience was when he took matters into his own hands. Remember, he cut the part of Saul's clothes off there and cut him. He got that close to Saul. And it really hurt his conscience. Like, I don't need to be touching this man. This man's anointed king by God. And if God wants to kill this man, God can kill this man anytime he wants to. I don't need to be touching this man. And so he really allowed the Lord or was good in allowing the Lord to just do the Lord's work and getting out of the way in that. You know, some of these things, you know, we want to take into our own hands sometimes. I understand you get responsibilities, you're responsible for the things you're responsible for. It oftentimes, when I know I've said this to you before, when people start messing with what God's put together and take it upon themselves to try to destroy something God's put together, and I know I've said this to you before, that scares me, not for the people that are there, it scares me for the one trying to destroy what God's put together. Because the Lord will take care of His stuff, and it is sometimes you gotta back off, and you gotta let the Lord take care of things, and let Him do His work, and not get ahead. That's what David, man, he cut that part of Saul's garment off, and he got a little bit ahead of God there, and man, he got his conscience hurt him. He's like, man, I have stepped out of bounds here. So what does he say? Verse 16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Look, you don't have to take care of everything. Now, I don't want to get you the idea, well, then I'll just sit on the couch and do whatever and God will take care of everything. That isn't true either. You got stuff you got to take care of, but some things you got to just keep your hands off of. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth. There's the Lord's ears again. And delivereth them out of all their troubles. These are all promises. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So he's gone through these promises that deal with the eyes of the Lord, the ears of the Lord, the face of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. After giving some instruction in verses 1 through 11, now he's giving some promises about the Lord. Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. That reminds you of anybody? That's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. Evil, verse 21, shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust him shall be desolate. So he gives the promises. The first part of the song is instruction. Here's what we need to do, fellas. And now here's the reason we need to do this, because God's promised these things. Here's the basis for what we're doing. Here's the basis for magnifying the Lord. Here's the basis for fearing the Lord. Here's the basis for seeking the Lord. And so he puts together this song. And you drop this thing back in its context and you see what David's situation is with the folks that have followed him and the folks that have found him and come to him. They're like you said, they're discontent, they're discomforted, they're downcast, and they're in debt and all those things, distressed, all those D words. And so here's the counterbalance to doing all that, to having those emotions and those feelings, is the song that David wrote. Now, I mean, I don't want to go, we could take all these things apart and deal with each of them individually, but I'm trying to deal with these whole things, these psalms as songs as they are written here, as whole chapters. Now, here's all that said, to give you all that context. There's the ministry of music. It works as a counterbalance. It offsets the things of the world. It kind of gets some things cleaned up, flushes some bad spirits out. Or it'll bring some bad spirits in, dirty the vessel. It'll work both ways, depending on the kind of music it is, depending on what it is. Now, here's this last thing. Give you this last thought here. Here's why I think this psalm is included in the Bible. I'm sure David wrote a lot more, but there are some that are included. And here's the reason. Here's the typology you have in David. David is anointed king. He's been anointed king. He has Saul knows he's anointed king, so Saul wants to kill him. He's being hunted by Saul. And now he ends up, David, ends up in this cave with people who are distressed, with people who are debtors, with people who are discontent. Here's the typology. A deposed king, Jesus Christ, with distressed people. Distressed by what? Distressed by life. Here's a deposed king with people who are in debt. In debt to what? Sin. Jesus Christ. A deposed king. He will one day reign on this earth. But right now, his people are being hunted by the God of this world. And so the king isn't in his place yet. And the people that are with the king got some things that they don't fit into the kingdom that's there. They're in debt. They're distressed by life and discontent with what? Discontent with the world. So they're not discontent in a bad way that you can't make them content. They're just discontent with the world. I think if you're a Christian, I mean, even if you're not a Christian, you're probably a little bit discontent with the world. Probably are a little bit discontent with the way things go sometimes. So here's the typology. David is a great picture of Jesus Christ in really this time period right now. He is one day going to get the throne. But instead of sitting on the throne, David's in a cave. Jesus Christ will one day get the throne and he will rule this world. But he's not there right now. And so he is hidden away somewhere, and the people who have followed him and the people who have come to him are distressed people. What does he say over there in Matthew? He says, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that mourn. Distressed. Distressed by what? Distressed by life. Then people show up who are in debt. In debt in what? In debt in sin. Debtors to pay back something they can never pay back. We can never pay back this sin. I mean, you can either die for your sins or you can allow Jesus Christ to pay your debt. Point is, you got a debt. So these debtors show up, and then folks who are discontent with the things in the kingdom, and they show up to follow David. So David is a great picture. And here is music written by a king in exile for the people who are with him. So this has a great application to Christians. A king in exile writes music to lift the spirits of the people who are with him. He says, Now's not the time to say, woe is me. Now's not the time to be downcast. Let's magnify the Lord now. Let's fear him. Let's trust him. Here's some promises. And let's hang on those promises till this king gets on the throne. Because I'm with the king. He don't have the throne yet, but I'm going to be with the king. And so the king writes this music, and it is a great type of Jesus Christ, and I think that's why most of these psalms are in here. They're about Jesus Christ, and we could really just apply them all to Jesus Christ. But you've got music by a king in exile for those who are with him. Now you go back, and you read these words not as David's words, but you read these words as Jesus Christ's words. I will bless the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's God the Father. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's something Jesus Christ would say. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. You go over there, and that verse that I mentioned, over there in verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. And that's a direct application to the crucifixion. And so now you see, here's some context to this song. I hope it helps you read when you read this. Not only the words of David, the deposed king, to the people who are with him, but it has great application to Jesus Christ writing a song or putting to music some instruction and some promises to the people who are with him while they're waiting for the king to get on his throne. Here's what you do. And so I hope that's helpful. That's music really in the balance. Music that balances out the current kingdom, the current world. And it's not, you know, I don't know, Fox News or whatever news, you know, you just kind of watch that stuff and you just, oh, woe is me. It's terrible, terrible stuff. And I guess it's good to keep up with stuff. Man, you can get a dose of that and it just drive you nuts. Sometimes you need a little, I will magnify the Lord. Let's think about God. Let's think about Jesus Christ a little bit. Let's get our mind on some pure things. Let's flush out this garbage. And so this is a great song David wrote to help some people with him, and a great type of Jesus Christ putting to music some promises and some instruction for the folks who are with him until he becomes King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So hope that.